The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
As the Lord prepares me and prepares us to hear His word, I'm asking even now that you will prepare your hearts and your minds for the seed that is to come forth, that it might fall on good ground. Now, this week I made reference to the book Detours, The Unpredictable Path to Your Destiny. It's been a great study, but there was something that has grabbed me. I told you I picked this book up. I picked this book up back in February when I was convalescing from some surgery I had to have, and so I was out of pocket. I was out the pulpit for a month. I was off my job for a month. I was just out of circulation, and so I had to sit. And I was in a lot of praying and meditation, and I've had my own experiences that I've shared. And that was when I picked this book up, and the Lord put it in my heart that this is what we would introduce for our vacation Bible school. But there was something on page 45 that grabbed me, and I'm just going to read it. If you have the book, you can go to it yourself. If you don't have the book, it's nothing that when I promote it, I don't get anything for it. I don't know Dr. Evans personally. I follow him closely with regards to his teaching, but it's a book you can find on Amazon or anywhere like that. You can even get it on audio, because I have both. But on page 45, hear these words that Dr. Evans wrote. He says, "You and I can read our Bibles, go to church, participate in edifying or uplifting conversations, and all the while feel that our spiritual hearts are fine. We can wave our hands in the air, sing praises like everything is great, and we may even believe it ourselves, but God knows the true state of our heart. And He will often allow a test to reveal an accurate diagnosis. Not necessarily for His benefit, though, but for ours. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because growth can only occur in a spirit of honesty." Every Sunday morning, God blesses us, and He opens up doors and churches all over our city and around the world, and people gather. But I declare, while I do enjoy clapping my hands, and I do enjoy praise and worship, as a matter of fact, worship must go forth even for the word to come forth. But at the end of the day, unless there's been some heartfelt conviction, unless there's been a connection that we can make with God, too many people are leaving in the same state and condition that they came in. We get folk happy, but until we get them some hope, and that hope is in Jesus, we have to make sure. And so that's what we try to do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, is we got to connect folk with Christ. Coming to church is a start, but we got to come to Christ, amen, because too many of us are in a crisis and people are falling apart. And as soon as something comes around, and God has said, and it's been coming from the pulpit and all over, and as the noise gets louder in politics and in our society, it seems as though the voice of God is being drowned out. And God has said, "No, I'm still on the throne, and I'm still in control, and I need somebody to cry out in this wilderness, to let the people know." He says, "My people know that it's going to be all right." But before we do that, some yokes have got to be broken. Amen. If you're physically able to stand in the book of Isaiah chapter 10, Isaiah chapter 10. And man, thank you again to all of our guests, to all of our visitors. Cheryl, it's good to see you, dear heart. God bless you with regards to your being here. Continue to pray for you. Thank God for your strength to your mom as well, Sister Lois. Amen. God bless you as well. And to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Isaiah chapter 10, starting with the 24th verse. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him like a slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb, as his rod was on the sea, so will he lift up the manna of Egypt." But here it is in verse 27. "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Too many folk are still in bondage. Too many folk are yoked up. I didn't say hooked up, but that might be a yoke too. Come on, somebody. But too many folk are yoked up to the wrong stuff. And they're trying too many different things to get free. But verse 27 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden," I'm going to teach that one in a little while, "will be taken away, not from your neighbor's shoulders." Too many folk come to church and they miss it, and they're looking around and they say, "I wish so-and-so was here." No, it's for you. Says it would be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. For just a little while, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about breaking yokes. But here it is specifically. We want to talk about overcoming emotional strongholds. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Overcoming emotional strongholds. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Remember again, this is what Dr. Evans said. He said that sometimes that God allows things in order to bring out the true state of our heart, not for his benefit, but for ours. He wants us to know the truth about ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because growth can only occur in a spirit of honesty. My brothers and my sisters, yokes are heavy loads of spiritual oppression that Satan puts on people in order to hold them in bondage. And one of the biggest areas he often attacks us is in bondage is in our emotions. Healthy emotions are to the soul what the senses are to the body. I'm going to teach it. I said healthy emotions are to the soul what the senses are to the body. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, what I'm saying is that emotions reveal the way that we feel about life circumstances. The thing is, there are a whole lot of people, Brother Marshall, in and outside of the church who are imprisoned by negative emotions. I'm talking about people who don't just have a bad day once in a while. I mean, we all have bad days every now and again. But I'm talking about people who feel as if they are trapped, as if they can't escape, as if their very life is being choked out of them. I'm talking about people that when they wake up in the morning, they don't say, "Good morning, Lord." They say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Come on, somebody. Amen. They're talking about people who are struggling to survive, and because they feel helpless and hopeless, and for somebody, maybe even hearing the sound of my voice, they feel worthless. I use the word stronghold, my brothers and my sisters, to make a sincere point, because anger, depression, worry, stress, low self-esteem, etc. These are all spiritual issues. Teach, Holy Ghost. These are spiritual issues. See, these are things that must be overcome spiritually. You see, when we get the spiritual component right, we won't be enslaved by our emotions. Now, I'll grant you that some emotional strongholds can be tied to a physiological cause, such as a chemical imbalance, amen. But most emotional strongholds don't spring from physiological causes. Mm-mm, no, ma'am, no, sir. Rather, they stem from people struggling with the emotions of guilt, shame, regret. Why? Because of some bad decisions or some wrong choices that they've made. Talking about the bad. You see, those are the things that we've done. The book talked about that. Those are decisions that we made, choices that we made. That's the bad. But some people also suffer from some stuff like abuse, betrayal, rejection. That becomes what the book calls the bitter, because that's some stuff that you didn't do, but folk did to you. That's stuff that you didn't want, but circumstances has now dumped it in your lap. That's the bitter. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it ain't your fault, but it is your problem. The thing is, people who find themselves enslaved to their emotions often deny that the problem even exists. Or if they don't deny that the problem exists, the way they try to deal with it is they use pills, alcohol, drugs, whether prescribed or unprescribed, come on somebody, illicit sex, money, careers, etc. And they do all of this stuff in an attempt to distract themselves from the real issue that's causing their emotional discomfort. Teaching here, Holy Ghost. Thus, the Holy Spirit has sent me here today as a messenger, a modern day prophet, to speak into someone so that you can discover, but not only discover, but address the causes of your emotional strongholds and eventually begin to overcome them. Remember, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Emotions don't think. They merely respond. I'll say it again. I'm going to say it again. I came in here to preach and teach. Amen. I didn't come in here to holler. I came in here to help somebody. I said, emotions don't think. They merely respond. I'm going to fix it in a minute. Emotions have to borrow thoughts in order for them to be stimulated. Therefore, whatever controls your thoughts also controls how you feel. Amen, amen, amen. For example, if you were weighed down with worry and stress because your bills have piled up, been laid off from work, simply feeling underpaid or unemployed, see no way out of your financial chaos, your emotions would be responding to how you were thinking about your situation. Amen. But if I handed you a check for $500,000. Come on, somebody. Well, let's just say that your emotions would completely change. I need some honest folk in here. Amen. Amen. That's because your emotions follow your thoughts. You and I, any of us, can overcome emotional strongholds by mastering our thinking. There is no reason for us to be bound by the emotional yokes of bondage that the devil has and continues to try to put on us. When you align your thoughts with God's truth, then you can ultimately be set free. Let's get in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says that Isaiah is speaking. And he speaks the word of the Lord to the people of his day. He says, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. But let me read that same verse from the New International Version, because it actually translates that better for us to understand. It says, do not be afraid of the Assyrians who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did. It's easy to understand why these people would be afraid of the Assyrians. You got to understand who the Assyrians were. The favorite pursuit of the Assyrian kings were war and hurting people. They were merciless, savage people. The army was ruthless. That seems to address many people and many things like our society. We live in a society that's ruthless. We know some people who are merciless, savage people. We know some people who seek to hurt people with no regard for any lives, especially not even their own. Yet the Bible says that Isaiah was telling the people not to be afraid of the Assyrians any more than they were of the Egyptians. Well, what's a simple, quick translation? In other words, he's saying don't be intimidated by them. In other words, he's saying don't be afraid of what you're facing now any more than what you faced in your past. I mean, come on, somebody. You didn't think you were going to make it this far. You didn't think you were going to make it through whatever it was you were going through that was going to kill you, you thought. Amen. Then he says in verse 25, he continues on with the word of God to the people about the enemies. He says, for yet a very little while, he says, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. He uses the phrase, yet a very little while. What does that phrase tell you? Well, it tells me that no matter what we face, it's only temporary. Come on, somebody. I need some help up in here. I need some folk who know the word of God. Whatever you face, if you believe the word of God, whatever it is, it's only temporary. Amen. I may not understand your problems. You may not understand mine. You may not understand your neighbor's circumstances, but Jesus knows all about it. And whatever those problems are, whatever those circumstances may be, you need to minimally encourage yourself and know that they are only temporary. Watch this, only if you give them to him. Too many of us are still trying to hold on to our own problems. Too many of us are still trying to take care of our own problems. Too many of us don't understand we are the cause we're in the mess in the first place. And if we didn't need God, what are we here for? Amen. Let me ask you rhetorical questions. Are you tired of the way things are going in your life? Don't raise your hand. Here's an even deeper question. Please don't raise your hand on this one. But are you tired of the enemy having control in your life? Then something can be done about it if you wanted to. I don't mean no harm, but some folk don't want help. For whatever reason, some folk live off of the victim mentality. Some folk perpetually always want to be in a state of need. Amen. Well, until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, amen, and quit trying to perpetuate things on your own, something can be done about it if you want it to be. Remember, the battle to overcome your emotional strongholds is a battle for your mind. Whoever, watch this, whoever and or whatever controls your mind controls your emotions and ultimately your actions. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us, and I heard it this morning, I said confirmation, we don't war against the flesh. I get the sinful flesh. I get it. But we don't war against the flesh. We war against Satan's attacks on our minds. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We got to bring some thoughts. Matter of fact, what y'all thinking about right now? Huh? Y'all know them little cartoons and sometimes little bubbles pop up. What would the bubble say? Somebody should say to themselves, whoo, thank God they can't read my mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. Talking about overcoming emotional strongholds. Back in our text in verse 26, the prophet Isaiah is continuing. Now he's continuing to try and encourage the people. Listen to what he says of the enemies of God's people. He says, the Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb. And he will raise his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. Oreb refers to the oppression of Israel during the time of Gideon. I told you I need to teach up, but I'm just dropping. Oreb refers to the oppression of Israel during the time of Gideon. Why is that significant? Well, here it is. The people of God found themselves tired of fighting. God Almighty teaching here, Holy Ghost. The people of God found themselves tired of fighting. They no longer wanted to enter into conflict, and so they reverted to hiding in caves. I need some honest Christians in here. Do you know of anybody that's tired of fighting? All my life. Come on, somebody. I was trying to see if y'all was awake. That was my mirror test. All my life I've had to what? Come on, somebody. But am I talking to somebody that's tired of fighting? Am I talking to somebody, and if I'm not talking to you, do you know somebody that's tired of entering into conflict and they reverted into hiding? Watch this. I didn't say they stopped coming to church. Some folk come to church just to hide out. Amen. They come to church just to hide out. Slide in on the pew. For maybe an hour or two, they don't have to deal with whatever they just left back at home. Come on, somebody. Maybe for just an hour or two, they can help prepare themselves for what they got to deal with come Monday morning. Amen. You know anybody that's tired? The people on our text, watch this, had laid down their weapons for the shelter of a hiding place. God Almighty, weapons. What's one of the greatest weapons we have? The Word of God. What's another weapon? Prayer. What's another weapon? Faith. What's another weapon? Praise. What's another weapon? Belief. What's another weapon? Y'all don't run out? Love. Here's the point. Whatever weapon, there it is, whatever weapon you have named, whatever weapon that has come from your heart, the Bible says that they laid them down. So whatever you shouted out, some folk have laid it down. Belief, love, praise, worship, faith, all of that stuff. They laid it down for a hiding place. My God, the hiding. Because they said, I'm tired of fighting. So what's the remedy, Isaiah? Well, he lays all of that out as a foundation to the message in verse 27. He says, it shall come to pass in that day. I got to teach right through here. If you write in your Bible, I want you to put in parentheses or a bracket. In what day? It shall come to pass in that day. What day? In that day of deliverance. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, put that right in there. It shall come to pass in that day. In what day? In that day of deliverance. It says that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. First of all, who's the his? My Bible, it's a small h. Come on, somebody. In other words, that refers to the enemy. Put that in your Bible. His is the enemy. So read it like I just told you. It shall come to pass in that day, bracket, of deliverance, that his, your bracket, the enemy's burden, I'm teaching up in here, will be taken away from your shoulder. And his, the enemy's yoke, from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed, not because of his, but because of the anointing oil. Amen. Amen. Here, Isaiah shares the concept of the anointing in the way that every Israelite can understand. And that's why we got to be careful, because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit, no matter what the message is, he wants everybody up under the sound of the gospel to understand. Isaiah used the illustration because any passerby in Israel could observe two oxen yoked together. In the case of oxen of different sizes, the smaller ox would simply have to go to wherever the larger animal or the larger ox would lead. The Assyrians were a yoke on the neck and the shoulders of Israel. God was going to deliver them from the power of the Assyrians. Now, I need to ask a question right here and right now. We love to read Bible stories, but what's the life application? Question is, who or what is your Assyrian? Who or what is your enemy that has a yoke on your neck and your shoulders? Is it a person? Is it a friend or foe? Is it a relationship you in, whether married or single? Come on, somebody. That becomes your Assyrian. That's got a yoke on your neck and on your shoulders. Maybe it's a place. Huh? Is it your job? Is it an institution? Well, if not a person or a place, maybe it's a thing. Is it finances or money? Does finances and money have a yoke on your neck and your shoulders? Are you worried about your health, your future? Is it retirement? What is it? What is your Assyrian right now that has a yoke around your neck? But don't act like you got it all together. We need some honest folk up in here. Amen. That's the problem now. See, that's why we don't have to keep priming your pump. Some folk have laid their weapons down because they say they're tired of fighting. Amen. The yoke is figurative of bondage and affliction. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. He says, I have broken the bonds of your yoke and made you walk upright. Too many folk have bent over for the wrong reason. Too many folk are slumped over in the shoulders, chin stapled to the chest. The Bible says, I've broken that yoke so you can walk upright. But you got to know the word of God. You got to know the word of truth. You got to quit hiding from the bill collectors calling your house every day. Know the word of truth. Yeah, I know you in a circumstance and situation, but the Bible says it's only temporary. But you got to put it in God's hands. Lamentations 1 and 14 says, the yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. You got to understand, people will only you from the pulpit to the door. We will only be, I heard it this morning, wholly delivered from the power of whatever your Assyrian is, from the power of the Assyrian and from the fear of it. Listen, these people will not only be eased of the Assyrian army. Actually, they're going to actually be freed from the yoke and the burden. They will no longer have to pay tribute to the Assyrian king, nor will they have to be at his mercy or have to do anything for him. We are like the children of Israel in relation to Assyria. We have allowed the devil to put yokes on us, especially with regards to our emotions. We have allowed him to lead us around, to lead us wherever it is that he wants us to go, to places we don't want to go. What kind of yoke has the devil placed on you? Jealousy or envy? Fear, worry, bitterness, hurt, depression, hopelessness, pride maybe, hard-heartedness, revengefulness, I'm talking to somebody, unforgiveness, etc., etc. You remember what I said earlier? These are spiritual issues. And so these must be overcome spiritually. And when we get the spiritual component right, we won't be enslaved by our emotions. There are still too many folk and too many things who got the wrong control over you. Amen. Jeremiah 30 verse 8 says, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck and will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. The best way to begin overcoming emotional strongholds is to understand your identity in Christ. Amen. Worry, fear, doubt, hate, revenge, unforgiveness, etc. All of these and more overtake us when we don't remember who and whose we are in Christ. All we hear is crisis. Well, we forget whose we are in Christ. We hear circumstance, but we forget who we are in Christ. Satan is a master at disguising his thoughts. Watch this. Not as his own, as your own. Somebody here up under the sound of my voice, you said, and you can put your own thing in there. I've only put one. Somebody says, I can't overcome worry. Fill in your own blank. What have you spoken to yourself that you says you can't overcome? For somebody, they say, I can't be free from this emotional bondage. For somebody, you are too super codependent. There's some folk who are playing with your mind and your emotions. And I told you, if they control your mind, they control your emotions and your actions. Amen. For somebody here, but to the sound of my voice, you're saying, I can't resist these old habits. Whatever it is, you fill in your own blank. Habit, addiction, whatever it is, you keep telling yourself, I can't. That ain't you. That's the devil. That's the devil. He done made his thoughts your own. Somebody said, I can't keep resisting. I can't get over falling into a depression. In order for you to overcome, you must stop believing these lies. Amen. Those statements may have been true when the old you was alive. Teach, Holy Ghost. Those statements may have been true when the old you was alive, but that person died on the cross with Christ. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, I'm talking the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone, y'all know the word in here, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a completely new creation. Amen. The God who created you for himself has never made any mistakes. I'll say it again. The God that created you for himself has never made any mistakes. I'll tell you something else. His plans for you have no flaws. His plans for you have no flaws. We might be flawed, but his plans for us have no flaws. Yes, we've endured some trials, and there could be more in the years ahead. But these difficult trials will work together for good if, number one, you love God. You got to love God. You got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Number two, you got to draw near to God. You got to draw near to God. And number three, you need to experience the power of his presence and his anointing. Amen. You see, it is the anointing. It's the anointing, or you want a definition, the divine enablement of God manifesting himself on your behalf that breaks the yoke. My God. I know we like those big fancy words and all this hooping and hollering. It's the anointing makes the difference. What is the anointing? It's the divine enablement of God manifesting himself on our behalf that breaks the yoke. Too many folk, even when you dancing and gyrating, we like Samson, we shaking with no power. There's no power. Nothing's getting broken. Rolling on the floor, running around, but there's no anointing. Because even for Samson, his anointing had left him because he was misusing it. God manifesting himself on our behalf that breaks the yoke. It's the divine flow of the Holy Spirit that will break whatever the yoke is in your life. That's it. God never promised to deliver us from all things. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:37 says he promised that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Revelation that God gave me, even when it comes to Romans 8:37, as many times I've read it, as many times I've heard it stated, whether in preaching, teaching, or whatever, the emphasis is always put on the more than conquerors. But recently, Sister Ferris, the Holy Spirit said, no, King, you still might be missing really the biggest word in that text. It's not more, it's not than, it's not conquerors. At least that's what he shared with me. He said it's the word in. Because there's some folk who think that if they are out of, or if they're not delivered from, they are not in the presence of God. But the Bible clearly says, in all these things. Listen, y'all just sung about it. Some sung, some sat. Well, what is your this or that? Huh? Come on, somebody. What is your this or that? The Bible says, in all these things, whatever it is. Whatever the problem, whatever in all these things. Just because you in some stuff don't mean that God is not with you, and it don't mean that God can't deliver you, because the Bible clearly says in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen, as I get ready to close, we will receive the benefits and the blessings that come only through our deep and meaningful experience of God. Life is too important and life is too short to miss out on all that God has for you. I'll say it again. Life is too important and life is too short to miss out on all that God has for you. But that's exactly what happens when we focus on the mess rather than on the message of the truth of God's word. As we get ready to open up the doors of the church, I want us to stand together and pray a corporate prayer. As the musician plays softly, amen. We open up our service with prayer. We end our service with an altar call prayer. But corporately, we have to make sure that we are on one accord. Even when people pray, not everybody's praying the same things. And that's why even you got to be careful to even ask folk to pray for you, because they may not be praying for you. They'll be praying about you, but they may be praying against you. Together, I want us to say, Dear Father, I want to hope, keep reading, I want to hope in you. I believe in you. Help my unbelief. Speak to me and help me to hear and discern your voice. Revive my hope and help me to see your presence and control in my life through the power of your anointing. Give me glimpses of hope where there are none, where I am tempted to give up. Help me to re-engage. Show me steps to hope, to take hope again and make a new start. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.